Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast, episode 144. I'm talking to Michael Terry, and I forgot to ask his rank, or his former rank, but we will talk soon about Project Enlist, which is Canadian Armed Forces and Concussion Legacy Foundation of Canada, and about their project to study, to get help with study post-mortem, obviously, brains of former veterans. So, but first, I will just thank my sponsor, Head Check Health. Head Check Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Tech Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada. Rely on Head Check to improve communication and optimize care. Visit headcheckhealth.com for more. And after all that, now, Michael Terry, I'd like to thank you so much for being on this podcast and teaching me about this program. So thank you so much.
And thanks for having me, Nick.
And yes, I guess better than me trying to talk about your history, but you can just say, how did you get to this project listing concussion Lakes Foundation? And also your speaking tour. So I guess first off with just who are you and like your former rank and stuff.
Okay. My name is Michael Terry. I am a 23-year veteran of the Canadian Armed Forces. I retired as a master corporal. So I spent 17 years in the infantry. And then my last 6 years of service, I was an imagery technician. So a photographer, videographer, and public affairs specialist. I was actually diagnosed with PTSD in 2001, shortly after I returned from Africa. And I continued to serve another 17 years after that. When I released in 2018, I was really, in bad shape, really suffering from PTSD. And I started basically doing a speaking tour across Canada where I share my experience of living with PTSD and, I share the struggles of transition to civilian life after service, especially for somebody like me who joined, I was 18 years old right out of high school. So my entire adult life was spent in that environment. And that was kind of how I came to be associated with Project Enlist Canada. A fellow veteran that I had interviewed during one of my speaking tours, his name's Ryan Carey. He was he retired as a captain. He's a former NFL player.
Yeah.
And he works for Project Enlist Canada as their operations officer. And, he kept talking to me about concussion and about head injury. And I kind of kept saying, hey, Ryan, man, I'm a PTSD guy. Why do you keep talking to me about this? And after a while, I actually started to listen and realized, how the effects, post-concussive syndrome, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, can come and mimic PTSD and how prevalent head injuries are in veterans. And we probably don't even know. So that's how I came to be the outreach coordinator. Cause I was doing outreach anyway. And that's how I became the outreach coordinator for Project Enlist Canada.
Nice. Speaking of just head injuries and first of all, before I ask that, where were you Where were you? How long were you in Africa? Your first, is your first, that was your first tour, I guess, or?
No. So my first tour was actually in Bosnia in 1999. Oh. And then in 2000, 2001, I went to Ethiopia and Eritrea, and I was there. I was there for about 3 months. So yeah, I had two tours back to back, and then my third operational tour was to Afghanistan in 2008. So that's the deployment.
I kind of want to ask you about the Ethiopia Eritrea thing, but the crisis in 01, but and also in compared to now, what do you think of the situation now? But that's without not in the theme of this podcast, so we'll move on. But I'm going to ask you after this podcast is over. so you, because you mentioned you just put on headphones, so both of our people are watching this. Michael, say a bunch of Terry. Michael didn't have headphones on before we started recording, and because you figured that's from. Well, you know where to figure that's from, definitely from military induced, let's say, ordnance induced.
It is most certainly service related. So the last audiogram I had, this doctor who I'd never met, he looked at my results and he said, okay, you've been in the Army at least 10 years. You had a combat arms focused job and you're a right-handed shooter.
Yeah,
and he could tell all that from the hearing loss pattern in my left ear. Oh, so so definitely service.
Oh, yeah. I guess before I get down too much in the rabbit hole, because I find all this stuff just fascinating. So, but we'll get to a project enlist. So, what is it, and when did it start? And I guess that's where I listed what is project enlist and when did it start.
So Project Enlist Canada is a military-focused study on the physical impacts of military service on the brain. So Concussion Legacy Foundation Canada is the parent organization, and it's a chapter of Concussion Legacy Foundation that began in the United States under Chris Nowinski. And Chris was, Chris started the foundation. Tim Fleiser is the president of Concussion Legacy Foundation Canada. He was a former NFL player. And it really kind of started with the study of accumulated brain injury and chronic traumatic encephalopathy in athletes. And what they started to notice in the States through their study was that they started to study military brains and realized that somewhere in and around 60% of the brains that they studied post-mortem through autopsy, came back positive for CTE. And what they figured was, okay, this isn't just coming from those big hits that you see like athletes, like boxers, football players. It's coming from an accumulation of, subconcussive or microconcussion events, like firing heavy weapons. One of the staples of the infantry, one of our staple weapons platforms is the 84 millimeter Carl Gustav, which is a shoulder fired recoilless rifle. And really firing this thing is like having somebody kick you in the guts. It's the amount of concussion that comes from it. So, what they found was a lot of veterans have repeated exposure to grenades, breaching charges, heavy weapons, sniper rifles, artillery pieces, all those things. And so it's suspected that a lot more veterans are affected by CTE than we realize. And because the effects of, post-concussive syndrome and CTE, the symptoms mimic PTSD, the suspicion is that there are a lot of veterans who are just diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and are being treated for psychosocial issues when it's actually a physical brain injury.
Right. So how do the, that makes total sense, but how do veterans or even like ongoing people are still in the military, how do they are they self-selected or for this reparation list? Or are they selected by doctors or psychologists or how does that happen?
So we are working with, you know, we're talking to the Canadian Armed Forces about getting a formal partnership started. We're getting involved with Veterans Affairs Canada. So really our job right now, or my job as the outreach coordinator, is number one, to try and get the message across to veterans and serving members like myself, who for years, I never considered head injury. I was never diagnosed with one, never suspected it. So bringing that awareness to the fact that the job brings with it that danger, so that people can hopefully mitigate some of the risk. They know to report when they have some sort of head injury, even a minor one. They know to record it. And, you know, and on the organizational side for the Canadian Forces, you know, encouraging them to do tracking and mitigation and all those things as well. On the research side of things, we are partnered with the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, which is, CAMH in Toronto. Right. And Dr. Neil Vazdev is engaged in a study to try and be able to diagnose CTE in the living brain. And so as his research goes forward, and, you know, Canada right now, we are the front runner in the world to be able to diagnose CTE in the living brain.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah, and with that ability for athletes, for veterans, you know, once you diagnose something, then you can look at treating it. So, you know, that would go into that whole, that would lead us into reporting procedures, prevention procedures, treatment protocols. So it's really kind of a multidiscipline approach to the problem. And the biggest thing for me is making veterans aware that they may be affected, hopefully getting them to sign up for Project Enlist so that we have, you know, so we can demonstrate the support for the project and also have the resources to carry on research, and also getting organizations like Veterans Affairs to get on board and the Canadian Forces so that we can, you know, start to get people the supports that they need.
This may be a loaded question, but, when you were, I guess when you were still serving, there wouldn't have been much appreciation, I guess, understanding of repeated head injuries or concussion. But and have you not, has, how is the Canadian government, Canadian Army now in that, or the, or just any army now, Canadian Army, this is what we can speak to, Canadian Army, how is their climate, their current climate around concussion? Like, the, is there much knowledge around the, in the Canadian Forces about concussion and suspect, or do you think more needs to be done?
You know, I think, like anything, more needs to be done. Yeah. However, you know, the Chief of Defence Staff a couple of years ago signed a letter of intent for the Canadian Forces to engage with Project Enlist Canada to work on the issue. I know I have friends who are still serving, you know, engineers who are, you know, of course, they're the ones leading breaching operations. And within that arena, it has been more of a focus for a while. They've begun to understand the problem, and they're pushing for all those measures, you know, with the currently serving force. So it's it has a ways to go. It has a long way to go.
But it's
moving in a good direction.
And
I mean, you know, this and I'm, you know, once you're out of the forces. So I released in 2018. So I'm about 5 years removed. Yeah, so once you're outside, it's a little, you know, you don't have as much insight as to what's happening on the on the inside. But certainly, you know, there are folks that we're talking to that says, you know, this is moving in a good direction.
And like 2018, I mean, although 5 years ago, it's not really, when I think about what I've noticed in the past 10 years of doing this, well, 11 years now, doing 12 years, I guess, of doing this, my blog and podcast, is that a lot has changed? A lot of, like, there's been a lot of movement and improvement in knowledge, general knowledge of concussion and brain injury. So, have you, did you find when you were serving, still in the 18 you were serving, but did you notice that there was a change in the your fellow soldiers, your friends in the military, that their attitude towards brain injury, concussion, head change?
You know, I certainly had friends who were diagnosed with traumatic brain injury, and most of those were related to, you know, very significant blast events. Like IEDs in Afghanistan, things like that. You know, and for the entire time I was serving, If you weren't talking about, you know, a diagnosed traumatic brain injury in relation to a significant event, it never really came up. So brain injury was never anything that was on my radar. Just, you know, you know, we used to do unarmed combat. You'd get knocked in the head, pugil fighting, or, you know, you bang your head off of something repelling or on the obstacle course and you'd have a headache for a day or so. And, but you just, you know, it just wasn't on the radar. You just kept going. So I really spent my 23 years of service completely oblivious to the idea of brain injury. And I think that is, I think that's a fairly typical experience for anybody who was never, you know, directly involved in an incident that resulted in traumatic brain injury.
Looking back, do you think you could have suffered a not like severe traumatic brain injury, but like, you know, like you say something yesterday, it's from your firing your shoulder propelled rocket, but do you think there's any in your 20 years of service, do you think there's any, looking back now, do you think that you may have suffered a concussion or several or at all?
I think without question.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I suffered or was exposed to certainly microconcussive events, maybe not a full-on diagnosed concussion. I was never diagnosed with a concussion. But I can just look at my if I just look at my range history, you know, as an 81 millimeter mortarman, and that weapon has an incredible kind of weapon signature when you fire it. And, you know, you're right within the blast radius of that weapon.
How many times did you fire that in the training session? Countless.
Hundreds, thousands. So in 2RCR in mortar platoon, we fired more than any other platoon in Canada. So we were always shooting. When I look at the 84 millimeter anti-tank weapon, you know, I fired that dozens of times during my career. But as an instructor and as range safety staff, you know, I was present for soldiers undergoing training firing that weapon, which meant I was within arm's reach. You know, so each soldier would come up and fire two rounds in order to qualify. And we might have 50 candidates fire in a day. So, you know, that's exposure to 100 up to 100 detonations in, you know, in 1 day of range practice. And I did that several times a year. So, you know, in terms of exposure just to those two weapon systems, you know, never mind, you know, the unarmed combat, pugil fighting. You know, so the times I took a knock.
What is pugil fighting?
So pugil fighting, have you ever seen maybe like American Gladiators where they looks like they fight with the big Q-tips?
Yeah,
that's Pujol.
That was my guess, actually.
I had
no idea, but that was my guess.
And those sticks are not as soft as they look. Yeah. So, and rappelling and just, riding around armored personnel carriers, even that forward and backward motion of being in a armored personnel carrier, your brain is sloshing back and forth. So, it's thousands of exposures to potential microconcussive events or proven microconcussive events. So, yeah. And I would say, there are people out there with far more exposure to those things than me. Given my career trajectory. So,
right.
Yeah, it's very likely that to some degree, I have a brain injury.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because I was just thinking when you mentioned that the armored vehicles, they're not built for comfort. They're built for, so there's going to be, I said the shocks are not the best, and the cushions on the chairs are not there.
And the LAV-3, the Light Armored Vehicle 3, which was the vehicle we used primarily in Afghanistan, it was actually a very tall vehicle. And when you were a crew commander, it means you were standing in the turret and your head and shoulders were out of the turret.
Yeah.
And you know how a pendulum works, the further you away are from the pivot point, the more severe the motion is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what we found was, we had people who were crew commanding, you're wearing a helmet and you've got night vision goggles on your helmet, and people were having neck injuries because they're so far from the pivot point.
Yeah.
So that back and forth motion is so severe, it's causing neck strain. Well, it's not good for your brain either. And you have people who are exposed to that, for months at a time, day in and day out. So,
I guess if you could just talk about CD itself. Like, so what do you, first of all, is it well known within the armed forces and within the veteran community, but also what is it like, what should people look out for when you talk about CD?
I guess the when you look at the symptoms of CTE, again, they really kind of mimic PTSD. You've got brain fog, you've got inability to focus, you've got anger issues, you've got behavioral issues, cognitive decline. It can lead to dementia and other things. And one of the markers for CTE that they found is a protein called tau that builds up in the brain and actually kind of kills, it basically kills the neuron receptors.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those injuries are happening on the outside of the brain where there's contact with the inside of the skull repeatedly. I guess the biggest thing, like I said, there's no way to diagnose it except post-mortem through autopsy. Yeah. But if you're being treated for anger and you're being treated for psychosocial problems or cognitive issues, and the treatments that you're doing for PTSD, for depression, anxiety, all those things, if the psychosocial treatments aren't working, you may need physical treatments. And I think that's where a lot of folks I know who have traumatic brain injury who say, look, the therapy I do, the work I do for PTSD just isn't helping. And it could be, it's because they need to treat the physical injury instead of a psychosocial injury. So it's really about, I guess, you've got to talk to your care providers about the care you're receiving and how well it's working. And, for me, I've never been asked about brain injury by a health professional.
Yeah.
I've been diagnosed with PTSD now for going on 23 years, I guess, somewhere near that. And I've never been asked, have you ever had a head injury by a medical professional? So, and that's a common occurrence. So I think anybody who suspects that, okay, I've got these problems or these symptoms, I've got this history of, basically impacts to the head, you need to start asking your care providers about the possibility of a brain injury. And the problem is, there's not a lot of practitioners out there who are familiar with it necessarily. So one of the things that Concussion Legacy Foundation has and Project Enlist has is the Operation Brain Health Support Line. And you can find it right on the website. And the idea of that is it's not, they're not there to give you medical advice. What they're there to do is help you find resources near you, you know, people who understand brain injury and can help you kind of determine if that might be what you're affected by.
That sounds very important. And actually, she kind of alluded to, but spoke openly about PTSD. And I asked you earlier if you would ever heard of Richard Dedeschi and Holdercrest Institute in the U.S. And I will be sure to connect you guys later on. And if they're listening now, then reach out to Michael Terry, Concussion Legacy Foundation, because that's also U.S. and Canada combined kind of thing. So, but also you speak about that. You say you're going to be in our my neck of the woods in June to speaking tour. So
yes.
I will definitely come up to you there. So do you want to speak briefly about PTSD and what you not your speech now, but what you do talk about to people who come with Terry?
I travel around by motorcycle and I hold speaking events. You know, I get organizations to host like Canada Connect, Military Family Resource Center, Legions. And I just share very openly my story of living with PTSD, you know, how I manage it, how it's affected me, my family, and the people around me. And then I talk about the transition from managing it to healing through it. And also the difficulties of transitioning out of a life in the Canadian Armed Forces, you know, for 23 years and becoming a civilian again. So, for, you know, a lot of veterans, first responders, becoming a civilian again is a process and it can be a very daunting one. So basically I share my experiences for about 45 minutes or an hour. And then afterwards just, you know, hold an open forum question and answer period or people can share their experiences. And it's really just about just talking openly about struggles with mental health so that people realize, hey, I can talk about this, because it's not talking about it that leads to the isolation that often, you know, leads to suicidal ideation and completion. It's the fact that people can't talk about it, and that's why they can't heal through it. So really just trying to normalize that conversation about mental health, whether it's PTSD or anxiety or depression or whatever it is, it all faces the same stigma, as does concussion and head injury.
Yeah,
exactly. Because
it's trauma.
Well, it's invisible. You know, people say, oh, you look fine. Like, you can go to the gym and work out and you look healthy. So what's your problem? Why can't you get over it?
Yeah.
So, and again, that's another reason why working with Project Enlist Canada was just natural given what I was already doing, because when you stack a lot of the symptoms up and the stigmas up, they're very, very similar. So it made perfect sense for me to start working with Project Enlist Canada.
And I guess our final question is, this has been really enlightening, but just about that, when you do open the floor to the people to talk to about just about what they're going through, you find that there's a lot of, I know every person, every situation is unique, but do you find there's a lot of overlay between what you talk about and what people say? Oh, I'm going through this and I don't think it's anything serious, but I, you know, blah, blah. Do you find there's a lot much changes in theirs?
Yeah, you know, the commonality between people when you start to talk about emotional struggles, it's really uncanny. And the number of times I've had somebody say, hey, I heard my story come out of your mouth, or I've heard my story come out of somebody else's mouth. And, you know, what it really comes down to is, you know, I talk a bit about some of my experiences that led to me being diagnosed or, you know, but I don't focus a lot on the traumatic experiences. I focus on the emotional impact on me and the struggles that I have. Because when we stop comparing experiences and we start talking about the human impacts of the injury, that's where I have found, you know, my story lines up with other veterans. My story lines up with first responders. My story lines up with civilians who never had any sort of military background and weren't exposed to the same sort of events that I was. So when we focus on the emotions and not the experience, it is very much, it's a human problem, and it's very much, you know, struggle wise or coping wise across the board, it's similar no matter what background people come from. And I found that over and over and over again.
Yeah. No, I mean, just the PTSD is important. So I encourage anybody to, because I certainly want to, I will to get out and hear you speak. You're in this area, say in Newfoundland or St. John's or there in June, or in the East Coast of Canada in June. And also for a project list, would you like to just tell everybody where they can reach out, numbers or emails or websites, I guess, right this way, maybe. But you tell me this way. So it's people that are veterans or anybody that's interested in project list and what it entails and where they meet you.
For sure. So if you want any information at all on Project Enlist Canada, you can go to Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn and just, you know, put in Project Enlist Canada. You can also visit www.projectenlist.ca, and all the information is going to be there on the webpage. We are, you know, actively looking for people to pledge their brain to the study. And I know a lot. Yeah, and a lot of people are hesitant about the idea of brain donation. So I always tell people, you know, brain donation works in two stages. There's the pledge, and then there's following through on the donation after you pass on. Yeah. And anybody can pledge. It doesn't matter, military, civilian, veteran, anybody can pledge. And when you pledge, what you're doing is you're showing public support for the project and you're demonstrating the need for the project and the research. And that helps us to secure funding. So anybody can pledge. And you know, there's no expectation for you to have to follow through on donating your brain when you pass. That is kind of the next step that people have to arrange and make sure their loved ones or their survivors are, you know, kind of fully briefed on and prepared for. So I encourage anybody to go pledge. You know, there's no pressure to donate. But anybody who's affected by post-concussive syndrome, you go to the webpage and the support line is there, and it's there to help you get connected with resources in your area. And that goes for athletes, that goes for, you know, they're not turning anybody away. If somebody needs those resources, and we have the Rolodex and can, you know, connect you with people in your area, you know, we're going to do it. So anybody who's been struggling to get connected with practitioners who understand head injury, you can go to Project Enlist Canada and check out through the support line, and somebody will be there to hopefully help guide you a little bit and hopefully get you connected.
Great. So that's projectenlist.ca.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much. And this was a great conversation, and please don't hang up or whatever, disconnect, because I still have some questions. And for your time, I'd love to hear your thoughts. So, but for else, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again soon, or hear you, or you'll listen to me again soon. And thank you. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Nick.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.